The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tottenham on a Tuesday night. You play Thursday cause you're... What a feeling, what a night. Oh, what a night.
Hello and welcome to a What a Night, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network, talking all things Tottenham Hotspur. Joining me, Sean Walsh, as he does every week, and we are doing it every week now, aren't we, Jude Summerfield?
Yeah, that's what they tell us.
I immediately sit around and record podcasts.
I know, it could be worse, couldn't it?
It could be.
Worse days, but yeah, all good here, mate. How are you? Well, we're a couple of injured boys today.
We are a couple of injured boys. Yeah, I went for a run yesterday, about 40, 45 minutes into it. Side of my knee. You said it was the patella. You're a doctor, qualified doctor.
Yeah, I knocked on it with my knuckle.
Yeah,
a few times.
So we're gonna have to amputate later. So
yeah,
by the time it goes out, probably.
Diagnosis.
Yeah, yeah. What was yours? A groin injury.
Yeah, we got absolutely battered by some team at six aside yesterday. It's our third loss on the trot now, which doesn't happen very often. I think.
You washed.
My mate who founded the team was like, "This hasn't happened in 10 years," and I was like, "Oh Jesus!"
You and your Bandit era.
Really poor. Yeah, really. It was a real Kirakeshian performance at the back. But
oh Jesus!
You know,
what, did you handball it when you're like trying to play volleyball or something?
He didn't know.
That's one of my favourite memories of Vlad Kirakesh.
Yeah, I couldn't get any little P roller shots going either. Like he scored that one goal against Fulham, which is a bit of a. Daisy cutter is the right P roller wasn't the right phrase.
Did Vlad Kirakesh score more goals in the mask for us than Son has? It's level at one actually. He scored against Palace.
Yeah,
I forgot. I keep forgetting he scored against Palace.
We should do some more research though.
Yeah,
because that's the important metric.
You're the SEO man. Get on the case.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's people googling this stuff.
Certainly.
It's been a long week since we last chatted. I think one of the things we talked about last week a lot was about Leandro Trossard, who in the time
moved
to Arsenal.
Yeah, that is quite jokes.
And was actually good for them, annoyingly.
And was really good at the weekend, yeah. Was a good player. Well, he is a good player. Contributed a little bit for them. I mean, I'm still a little bit, you know, I don't know how strong that makes their squad, really. It's a fringe option. But, you know, everyone's making them at the moment.
I was fine not getting it. We explained our reasons last week, but we'll talk a bit about transfers in a bit.
We've already explained ourselves.
Don't doubling down.
Yeah.
Don't back down. Should we talk about what a game that feels like a long time ago now, the Man City game? Because 45 minutes, thought we had something. You didn't actually watch this game live. But,
no,
so you missed out on all the madness.
Yeah, I missed out on all the madness. I mean, I wasn't really expecting too much from Spurs, which is why I agreed to play football on the night instead.
Fair enough.
Which, you know, seemed like a bit of a mistake when I got there about 9 o'clock and it was 2-0 at half time. Something wild had gone on just before, and Kulu and Emerson were scoring goals, and it seemed like the world was right again.
Yeah.
But then I think we still had like 15 minutes to play, and by that point they were like, oh, City are 3-2 up.
Yeah, in those 15 minutes everything happened.
Yeah. So it was a swift turnaround from getting a couple of goals.
Really humbling experience, really. you think you got everything, you get to half time, like, oh, we might do something here. You come at the end of the match, like, oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, never mind. Let me down again.
You've done it again. I really think that this is kind of if I'm going to try to spin a positive, I think it's actually might be something that might kickstart Man City's title charge, because they were crap in the first half. I think I don't think they impressed me that much. They had a couple of chances where they were like breaking away. That was what Romero had a really good tackle on, and I think it was Grealish, and it just, I thought they just got lacked so much dynamism and creativity. They were so one dimensional. It was the same against Man United in the derby a few days before for them. And I was really kind of thinking, this team's not going to catch Arsenal. It's just not going to happen. Mm. So we got two goals at the end of the half. I thought the Kulusevski goal, obviously, just capitalising on Edison making a huge error. He can't really kind of shift the blame for that. And then Emerson, who's had a good couple of last games, and we'll talk about the Fulham game later, but he got in the right position to react to that. I think that's what Conte has really kind of wanted out of him, to get in these better attacking positions, particularly the way that he kind of swaps with Kulusevski sometimes. And good value for the goal. The Spurs fans started singing Emerson Royale, he scores when he wants, and that was really the start of the downfall. Because from there, it was almost like City took this personally in the Michael Jordan way. And they just blitzed us, and we've said all we really can about the defence and Lloris, but they just weren't able to keep up, and that was really where the game was won and lost. They had Haaland, the ultimate kind of penalty box predator. Mahrez kind of rolled back the years as well. Alvarez was there doing his sort of thing, and you can see the weakness in this team lies with the defenders.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a few more of those, don't we?
Probably could do with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange that they haven't been targeted. Maybe it's a long term thing in the summer. That can be my only rationale for this.
One would hope so, because that seems to be the big issue at the moment, just being a bit weak, and then a few players not being able to play out very well, just sort of hindering that whole spine almost. But
I think it's underrated how much that really has limited us this year, because I think you look at last season, we talked about last week, that a lot of the defenders were maybe overperforming what we expect from them, because Dyer was getting the England shouts. I think they were right, I just wasn't kind of clamouring for it. Ben Davis was really, really solid, and he really played that underlapping left centre back role really well. Sessegnon and Emerson were very decent towards the end of the season, but this year you kind of see, if you rely on these guys to try and build from the back, it's much harder. Mm. It feels like we're one of the only sides in the kind of top half, or at least the top six, that don't have defenders capable of playing from the back under pressure, so it really harms us there. And I think I tweeted at the time that missing out on Bastoni and not really having a backup plan aside from, we'll just take Longley on loan because he's there and available, was such a huge miss for the season. That felt like that was the position that needed massively strengthening in order to for us to kind of make a step up.
It still is. I mean, like, I can't really believe they'll go too many more windows without properly addressing it.
Because you'd hope so.
Yeah, because you can just see how dreary it is, and how tough it can be to build out of the back. And yeah, like you say, Lenglet is, I'm not convinced about him as a defender.
I'm kind of glad we have the sobering experience.
But there's a few, I'm pretty sure I've slagged them off already in the last couple of weeks, but there's been a few where he does the old stand and let someone run, which isn't my favourite defensive move.
No, not in the Prem anyway.
No, not in the Prem.
I think it's bad that
you're in the Prem.
Yeah, well, if you're getting those calls at Barcelona in a league that's less physical,
yeah,
it's probably not going to translate well to England.
Yeah, he's not a long term one. But yeah, the Bastoni one, that could have really sorted out for a little bit, but we'll see. I'm sure they'll go back in for someone and they'll just clear up a few of those defenders, because it's strangely just been such a similar pile of players at the back there for a few seasons now.
Yeah,
needs to be a bit of a turnover to something that's a bit more progressive and just solid.
Yeah, there's a problem with it. If they're not good either way, then what the hell are we doing?
Yeah,
so that's an obvious weakness. Teams are taking advantage of it, and it's just so annoying that we're trying to go, if we play the way that we do, we're trying to defend, and as we learned under Mourinho, you try and play defensive football with these defenders, they're going to break because they can't do that. You have to play on the front foot, you have to use the attacking talents and get the most out of that. And I get Conte wouldn't be comfortable with that. I think he'd rather games be 1-0 than like 4-2, for example. So that was a tough blow.
Yeah, smashed about, absolutely smashed off the par, didn't we?
I'm done talking about City. Should we move on to Fulham?
Yeah,
that's a bit more positive. That's a bit more positive.
Well, like, we have to preview another City game soon, don't we? So yeah, let's just.
I'm
yeah.
really looking forward to that, Jude. I really like that. Yeah. Do you know, I really like facing the champions of England a lot.
They've never won at Arsenal.
They've lost. They've lost every game. They haven't scored a goal at the stadium.
Yeah. So that's all we need to say about
that's
it.
All, that's all we need. Yeah. Exactly. It's easy. Nothing else more. Nothing
it's
more.
Easy. But then yeah, it was a bit of a weird weekend because like we had that on the Thursday and then. Obviously, they were playing on the Monday again, but it felt like a lingerer.
Yeah, it was like
felt like a dark cloud.
It felt more like another midweek game than a game attached to the weekend.
Yeah, it was odd, and it was quite a turgid affair, wasn't it? Too much quick passing going on. It was slow and mushy, and it was just one moment of quality, really.
Yeah, it was. I mean, because I know someone who works for Fulham, and he has season tickets, and he. Didn't need them, so he gave them to me. I went with a friend. Oh. I was sat in the. It's now the home end. It used to be the neutral end, which kind of got a few. You know, you have a neutral end in football. Mm-hmm. People are going to start asking questions. So
why have you got a neutral end?
Exactly.
Is that one of the questions?
That is one of the questions. The top question, actually. You know, now you mention it. But I think they got rid of it for the season. So now it is. So it's next to the away fans. So the concourse is still mixed, okay. And they're just hoping that they don't cause trouble because. I can't imagine a Fulham fan ever causing trouble in their life. So the concourse is still mixed, but the stand isn't. So I was sat amongst the Fulham fans.
Yeah, maybe if someone nicks their oat milk cappuccino, he says that being one of his orders.
Got to figure something first. What's my coffee order? It was not particularly good display. First 10 minutes, I thought I was really kind of impressed by Fulham, the way that they pressed, the way they pinned us back a bit. They forced quite a few errors out of us, particularly I think Romero really struggled in the first few minutes. He had a good game overall, but found it hard early doors, and Willian scarily looked like the Willian that we wanted to sign 10 years ago. That kind of regressed a bit, and I thought talk about Emerson, did a really good job on him in the end. It just was a game where a moment of quality was going to decide it, and it came from Kane. From my angle, you could kind of see, so I was like behind the goal in the corner at the other end, and you could see how it opened up for Kane a lot more than you could on the TV. Because you look on the TV, it's a phenomenal finish. It is a phenomenal finish. I'm not taking it away from him, but you could see the way that he contorts himself to create that kind of yard of separation, to create that angle to curve it around the defender and pass Leno. It was really, really impressive.
He just swivels into that little channel, doesn't he?
Yeah,
you can sort of aim the ball
part. Yeah, and my friend who was there, he's a Chelsea fan, and he was just really kind of impressed the way that he was able to do it. Just like, yeah, this guy's a complete footballer.
Yeah, do you remember he scored one at Huddersfield where but that was from a throw almost, but it was the same sort of thing, on the edge of. I think that was with his left foot though.
It used to be his signature, really, that like just turning, hitting it quickly, getting it just out of his feet.
Yeah, yeah, he was like a real snapshot shooter, wasn't he? I mean, obviously as his game's developed, he just sees more of the ball. And I suppose maybe that sort of surprise of the early shot is maybe gone a little bit, but
I think
he still takes shots on really, really quickly. I think he did it at Palace. Really took the touch and hit across the box. Really, really. When he does that, it's like it's poetry in motion.
They're so aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah,
it
really
is. Just like it's the way that he kind of sweeps because it makes it look like it's kind of a quick. Like release, like did you ever play like the old WWE SmackDown vs. Raw games?
Yeah.
Did you ever like play like the creator finisher ones, and you could speed up how quick it was?
Yeah.
So it's like you could have like a scissor kick or something going on at like 200% speed. So it's like
I usually just had the ones where they'd like twirl you around up there and just like speed up to 100%,
moving like
just,
the Flash.
Yeah, and then eventually just
yeah. Like, that's like that's what it's like when Kane just gets out of his feet early. It's just so lovely to watch.
Yeah, it's remarkable, man. Obviously, leveled a record, which is quite extraordinary. Jimmy Greaves' all-time Spurs record. And he'll probably break it in the coming weeks as well. So, there's something to look forward to. I mean, star performers aside from Kane, we can go Emerson, who's, yeah, like you said earlier, has had a couple of good games now with that goal at City.
I think he's been used a little bit differently, because like I said with the City game, him and Kulusevski swapped a bit. He's coming inside more, so he's not crossing, because teams know if he's going to cross, just stand off him, let him
it's
cross.
It's taken a while to
Antonio's in the change room, he's like, hey, what if we don't let Emerson cross today? He's genius.
Great goal, boss. Yes, boss.
I think he's got it. So yeah, it was different with him. I thought their link up towards the end of the second, towards the end of the first half, where we only really had that kind of 5 minute spell going into stoppage time where we really had the pressure on them, and we made most of it. And Kulusevski, he had that run before where it ends with Emerson shooting at the near post and Leno pushes it wide, but yeah. Kulusevski just takes the ball, carries it all the way, gets a bit lucky that it bounced off the corner flag. From where I was, it looked like he kind of roulette'd out of it, and I was a bit more impressed by that than watching on replay. But he did really well, and that, he kind of owned those 5 minutes. You could see him kind of just trying to take over, and then it ended with Kane doing what he does.
Yeah.
This is what he does.
Yeah, I like the idea of Kulu just staying a bit wider. Just because if you know, sometimes we do get space on the right, it's just who's putting the ball in and who's trying to do the next thing,
because he put in some really good crosses in the second half.
The way
he was crossing from is towards where I was, and it was almost like I wanted to jump up from my seat and hit it in myself. So we had was it him that crossed it for Davis, heads it back across, Kane heads and Leno somehow saves it. That was something that looked incredible.
That was a great save. I can't believe he didn't bury it, but wonderful save. But Kulu, I think that'd be nice if he could just kick on a little bit. Maybe still coming back to fitness. He's had a few little nice balls in and things like that. Maybe just waiting for the sharpness to go past someone out wide.
Yeah,
to come back again.
I think also, I know he's scoring at City, but I think more direct goal involvements, because he's definitely capable. And it feels like, I think he's in a similar position to maybe Saka like a year ago, where he was like, the next stage for him was, okay, he's obviously this really good player. We need to see, can he score more? Can he take the kind of burden off Kane? Is he the guy that's going to do that? We talked a lot about this season. It would be different if he was playing, just maybe because of the way we play, but also if Son's not scoring, maybe Kulusevski could have been the bit that he added to his game a bit more.
Yeah, and we didn't have, and obviously Richarlison got injured at the same point, so you just didn't have any goal threat alongside Kane, because Son's obviously gone downhill. And Kulu
did get an assist in this game. It wasn't good, but he got an assist. Another one
count
for the stats.
They all count. Yeah, it's the it's another one for their partnership, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I got to update that article, dude.
I have to update things. This is what the problem is. Like every, it's just like, oh yeah, I've got to update that.
You can read every goal contributed between Kane and Son on itemin.com now.
Yeah, you really can. That's one mine. To be fair, that was my baby. So I got myself to blame there.
Don't you feel stupid now?
Warrant article.
10 out of 10 would read again. What did you? I need to ask, because in the ground, I might be thinking something else. But what did you think of the midfield duo Højbjerg and Bentancur? I thought Bentancur looked a bit sloppy, but I don't know if that's just me in my seat getting frustrated.
Højbjerg, I don't think, has played very well for a while now. Like the last 3 or 4, he seems a bit sort of headless chickeny. Bentancur, I think, lost the ball. Well, I'm not going to say this without actually checking, but it seemed like he was. Yeah, I don't think anyone was particularly good with the ball. They seemed to just lose it very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Either overrun it, and just the lack of, you know, that it wasn't clinical, the passing a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of just like pressing and getting about and tackling, I think the whole team did that pretty well. In terms of like a playmaking outing, it seemed very much more like they just wanted to be solid and compact rather than express themselves too much.
Yeah, I assume when Conte said post-match about he saw the characteristics in this performance as the same ones that got us to the Champions League last season, I assume he meant on that side of the game and not the kind of attack.
Yeah,
unless he's thinking, wow, there's 5 minutes into the first half, we're back, baby.
Ruthless aggression in those 5 minutes. The dream is that you get that ruthless, clinical edge like they showed in the second half of last season, even, which just hasn't always been there this year. But we'll see. I mean, I still want Bissouma to come in and start playing well, but whenever he's played for Spurs, he just seems to, I don't know, just be panicked and not have any time on the ball.
He plays a lot better in the 3-5-2 when he's got two players in front of him and he can just kind of sit and do his thing there.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that got whipped out in the Champions League or something similar.
Yeah.
I feel like if we go to Milan and go with the two in the midfield, then it might be another case of being overrun by really quick chaps up front.
Did you see they got slapped last night by Lazio?
I did see that, yeah. 4-0. I think I only checked it this morning and I was like, 4-0, oh, good lord. Something's got
to give between these two crap teams in the last 16, you know. I know a couple of Milan fans and they seem a bit edgy. They're unsure if Pioli's the man to kind of get him out of this mess. They respect what he's done, but it's like if he's being failed by the board a little bit because the signings they made weren't befitting of Italian champions, and they're rivaling us for Zaniolo. By all means, please take him. And, you know, if he scores against us in the Champions League, then that is the history of the Tottenham.
That is tough.
We can put it down to that.
I'm sure if he kicked the ball in, his knee would go, and then that'd be him out.
He's like me, you know.
Yeah.
Might as well sign me.
You've got bum knees.
30 mil? Yeah. Loan plus option?
Would have gone pro if I went for your knee.
I know, exactly.
That's what I've been telling you.
I'm going to see Led the King tomorrow, actually. I'm going to ask him for some tips.
Of course, yeah. How to play every Saturday.
Yeah, he's going to tell me, it's over. You're washed. Get ready for
dreams
a life of pain.
Dreams of grandeur need to be crushed right now.
Painkilling injections, and you're not even playing in a game. This is life. So got that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Should we do a bit on transfers?
Yes.
Because it feels like we are now...
There's a fair amount going on.
Yeah. I'm just quickly going to check that nothing's updated on the Porro situation. Because it does sound like that's one that will be done. But I want to double check now. So it's probably going to change by the time this goes out, honestly. But so if we talk about the assumption that Spurs do agree a fee, and from what it sounds like in Portugal, Spurs have at least promised to pay the release clause somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So happy with that?
Seems fine. I mean, I guess he solves all problems in the first world.
not asking much.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's someone we watched in the Champions League earlier this season. Always a bit scared of, you know, the whole playing well against Spurs curse, if you know that is a thing. But at least they're having a look at positions that need a little bit of strengthening, and I don't know, it's a lot of money, and in terms of like long term future planning, it seems quite wild to spend that.
They've got to be hiring him to be kind of committing that kind of money.
Yeah, you'd think so.
And it does seem that, cause I think the interesting thing before was that the assumption always was Spurs will only go for Porro if they shift one of the other right wing backs first.
Mm.
Changed a little, it seems that we're going to do this before one of them's gone. I wonder if that's a case of kind of putting the pressure on those guys to try and find new clubs, where it's like, look, Porro's coming in, he's going to be the starter. If you want first team like game time, you're going to have to go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So you've got a few days to kind of sort out a move. I wonder if that's the play now.
Yeah, just putting it up him a little bit.
Yeah.
You'd have to think Jed Spence goes on loan.
Yeah.
And then it's just sort of...
We did report yesterday that Spurs are looking at that now. They're open to that possibility. He does have a lot of Premier League teams that will.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, if he can go somewhere for 6 months and just show that he's
that he's a baller, that'd be great.
Yeah. Two great wing-back options. That'd be class.
Yeah, I do hope this poor fella can play normal fullback as well.
Yeah, that's same
because
as
otherwise,
well.
If you know, you spend this much amount of money on a specialist wing-back, it's
you're kind of tied to it, innit?
You are tied to it, which is the problem we had a little bit with Doherty when he first came in.
Yeah, it's the same as Adoji, because Adoji looks really good at wing-back for Udinese, but if he could play in a back four as well, we've got two dynamic fullbacks for the next half decade, maybe hopefully even longer, in Porro and Udoji.
Yeah, it'd be nice, man.
That's a game changer, because we haven't had that since Walker and Rose, and
it's been so long, yeah.
You could see when you play together, it just changes it completely, just having the ability to create width like that.
When you have fullbacks who can just carry the ball, just the whole pitch, they just get into space and they just knock the ball up the line. Yeah. It's brilliant. Well, like, it takes the pressure off other players, because it's just right, I'm going to sprint down the touchline with the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to win as a corner or something like that. It's like just another way of exerting pressure. Well, and we haven't had that, like you say, for so long.
Exactly. I was talking to you earlier about a compilation I watched of Porro last night. I haven't properly kind of sat down and done a lot of homework on him. I did watch the games he played against the season. I think I said it last week. Mm-hmm. It was good. I wasn't coming away from it thinking, pay the release clause now.
Yeah.
But I did watch the compilation, and the player that he reminded me most of was Aaron Lennon. Like, the way that he's not got the same kind of full on pace. He's quick, but he's not like Lennon quick. But the way that he moves his body, the way that he shifts between players, he controls the ball, the way he gets to the pie line, does the little float back, cut back crosses. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Stands him up, then straight on the right angle, chip of the back post.
As a Lennon.
It's been too modern age. Long.
This is what this club's about. You think if Adoji can play a bit like pre-AVB Gareth Bale, we're really rolling back the years.
It would be nice.
This is what this club is all about.
If we can get some regens going. You see, there's so much there, man. There genuinely is a lot of talent there.
There is.
There's plenty of... I do think there's plenty of ball players in midfield as well. So I whatever's been behind this slump, I just think it's been annoying, because I don't think they need to be so.
Did you see there was an I don't know if it was an article or if it was someone just posting a series of tweets, but it was a thing the other day comparing the amount of games that teams have played over the last couple of years since the COVID season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Liverpool City lead the way by far, but we're not that far behind them, and I think Chelsea are in the same bracket. Whereas Arsenal and Newcastle played about half of what City and Liverpool played, so they're a bit fresher, whereas everyone else is a bit more jaded, particularly us, who we've had the same kind of core of players in the last couple of years now.
Yeah.
Bar maybe Bentancur and Kulusevski. So I understand why there's been a bit of a drop off. You add in the fact that Conte has never been able to coach more than one game in a week at a proper high level, apart from maybe early days at Juve. You can see why it's gone wrong. I think I actually added in as well, Conte's had all this stuff in his personal life, like the three close deaths to him, the family being away. I understand why it'd be a bit more miserable for him. The annoying thing is he kind of takes it out on the club.
Yeah,
but I see where it's gone wrong.
Yeah,
but if we can get Porro in,
just think if we can just not put a positive spin, but you know, there's still plenty going on.
There's quality
still
in this team as well.
There's quality going on. You know, FA Cup, they could have a decent run in the Champions League. They're not that far behind in the Prem. Just try and, you know, give it more of a fresh vibe.
There's
still so much football to be played.
Yeah, this was the line that was put out by Kane this week, wasn't it? The contract talks. There's still plenty to fight for the season. He's open to staying if the situation's right.
The puppet, Sean.
Silence, unique mouthpiece. But yeah, I think there's reason to believe that things can be turned around. Whether they do, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily bet on it, but there's a pathway there, I think, at least. And if Kane stays or Kane goes, whatever we're looking at next season, we do have a good core of young players who can be moulded, who can be relied upon. There's a lot of kind of big game experience between them all. The annoying thing is we don't know who the coach is going to be.
Yeah.
That's the dark cloud kind of hanging over everything. What is the vision? We have these players, but who's leading them?
Just sort of in limbo before Judgment Day, aren't they at the moment? So once they all get sorted out, they can start having a more long term future like the other clubs around them have started going for.
Like pretty much every other club in the top half, is what I said before. I do get the Kane reporting. I think it's something that we've understood for a while as well. His ultimate thing is to succeed here. I just don't think there'll be enough of a pull come May for him to be like, yes, I would like to spend a few more years here. Mm. Let's do it. I think it'd be more open to going somewhere else and trying something.
What do you think? Let's say they steal fourth and nick the FA Cup.
I would pay a lot of money for that right now.
Yeah.
With my own money. To guarantee that.
Be nice, wouldn't it? But
I think that. I think that's enough.
Yeah.
I think that kind of. If he's the one that breaks the trophy duck, if the Champions League again, that kind of helps with the revenue and whatever. I think that's enough. Even if we don't know the manager is, yeah. I think that's enough where it's just like, okay. Hopefully the kind of board have learned the mistakes of recruitment in the past. They're able to kind of shift players on. And that's the start. That's what the kick start. But I feel like that's asking a lot right now.
Yes.
But we do have a good chance in the FA Cup.
I mean, we've had some favourable draws. I mean, it sort of feels sort of... I don't know, touch wood before you saying that, because obviously you went out to Borough in the last season.
That round,
which was just turgid.
Although we would have had to play Chelsea in the next round, and
I was done losing to
them. We'd already lost four times to them in the same season.
Yeah,
and don't think we scored a goal in those games either.
No, I don't think we did.
Tuchel just had Conte's number.
Yeah, totally did. But they're out.
Ironic now we think about it.
Yeah, I suppose.
But yes, Chelsea are out. One of Man City or Arsenal will be out. Liverpool might get knocked out by Brighton.
Yeah.
Newcastle already out. So. Draw opens up nicely for us. I think we should be taking it seriously.
I think they should, because it's more of a competition that gears itself to this type of football, really, I suppose. It's more knockout sort of football, isn't it? If you're just trying to shit out another team.
Yeah.
And looking to pick them off in moments here or there.
Yeah. And amid like Conte's kind of disastrous second season at Chelsea, he did win them the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Even for all that, even because they got to the final, played Man United. Mourinho's Man United had just come second. I think there was a lot of people who were just like, oh, Mourinho's got this. He doesn't lose finals.
Yeah.
And of course, they did a number on him. United did nothing in that game. It was such a boring final.
But, you know, perfect from that perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just fingers crossed, man. Be nice.
Be lovely.
Be nice. What other transfer fellas? Have we covered everyone there?
The main man, Arno Danjuma.
Oh, of course, yeah.
They're very funny. I feel really bad for Everton, but I think at this point they just got to accept that.
A good gazumping.
Yeah.
Just got to accept that.
You have been Willianned.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I know it's funny. But maybe it's just I just haven't watched enough of him as a player.
I think he's a good player. I just think the problem is he's going to... I don't think it's lazy to suggest that he's going to be playing a similar role to Steven Bergwijn in the squad.
Mm.
I think Bergwijn's problem last season was that we weren't in Europe the second half of the year. We were knocked out of the Cups. So he didn't get as much of a look in. Kane, Son and Kulusevski were always fit. Lucas, I think, was ahead of him with Pekka Ilves still. Whereas now, I think Danjuma offers a bit more in terms of pace. I think Bergwijn surprised me how much he lacked pace. He couldn't do that. Whereas Danjuma is quick. He's a bit more versatile. He can actually play as like a... not like an old school nine, but as a number nine in some case. Maybe that helps a bit more.
I mean, it's just odd that like the squad depth is just strange, because obviously Kulu and Richarlison are at the same point, which meant Brian Hill had to come.
Yeah,
and maybe a move like this wouldn't have been considered had that injury crisis not happened and sort of exposed that
flaw
in the squad, which I suppose is almost a good thing. But
I assume this is why we're trying so hard for Zaniolo, because that's natural left footed. Coming inside from the right option, but I don't really want him.
I don't want him as a right wing back, just charging up and down the right with dodgy knees.
Got no knees. You can only get away with that once in a club's history, you know.
Yeah, we've got and you're talking to the main man tomorrow.
Yeah, but Danjuma, if it's a loan, just like with no kind of obligation to buy or anything, I guess I'm fine with it. I think he's in the same kind of mold to Trossard, I guess. So
yeah.
It was obvious that we were in the market for this kind of player.
And there won't be any... I doubt there'll be any commitment. Well,
there might be an option. Best case scenario, he kind of comes in, he scores a few really important goals, and Spurs
that's pretty much it.
But I guess the point I made on Twitter yesterday was that Spurs actually might have some depth up front. People are like always going about, oh, they look at the bench and there's no one there. So, presuming everyone's fit, you start Kulusevski, Kane, Son, and Richarlison. I'd probably give Richarlison a run at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, just give Son a bit of a rest. Maybe that's what he needs.
Yeah.
But then the bench got, so one of them, Danjuma, Hill or Zaniolo, depending on what happens with the window. I imagine if Zaniolo comes and Hill goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just nice to have options. The problem, as it was pointed out to me, was that Conte likes having options but he doesn't actually like using them.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. You actually have to use the substitutions. Yeah. That you're still allowed five, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we used two on the other night, didn't we?
I was waiting a long time for Sessegnon for Perisic.
Yeah.
It didn't actually happen in the end, did
it? Yeah, it was. He's very much a favoured 11
like for like
man at the moment. He's not trusting the whole squad, which is, you know, always a little bit
weird. Yeah, this was the thing my Chelsea friend said to me. Like, he likes having big squads, but he likes having his favourites as well.
Mm.
So the idea of having a big team appeals to him a bit more. It's almost like on like FM or FIFA career mode, where just hoarding as many players, you never know when an injury crisis is going to happen, but then you're just stuck.
There's another club in London doing that at the moment. Like, surely we've got the wrong managers.
You think? Just give them a bit of a swap.
Let's do a little swap deal. Proper Major League Baseball, MLB.
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 The majors.
The majors, yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They do swap deals over there.
Yeah. Todd Bowley might be up for it.
Todd Bowley does love that shit.
He does love it. Baseball man.
Almost too much. Almost too much.
He's out of his mind. Any other transfers? I'm trying to think.
What have we done the last few days?
I think it's just been Porro and Zaniolo and Danjuma just kind of out of nowhere. I think that was largely it.
Yeah. Those would be the late movers then.
Yeah.
No Leandro Damião or Kabay or anyone like that, unfortunately.
I'm fine with that.
Moutinho.
You never know.
Little move for Moutinho.
You never know. Paratici's got to make the most of his days as a free man.
Yeah, get high on life.
Did you read it? There was a report yesterday. I don't know if it's true or not. I saw a report from some Italian journalist saying that there's a possibility Kulusevski and Bentancur might be banned for a month because of their part in deliberately lowering their wages at Juve. Like, kind of, but under the table kind of thing. So it was like everyone in that squad. The worst case scenario is they get banned, Juve get that title stripped of them, and also get relegated. So that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Whether that happens, I don't know. They might just be satisfied by giving them the 15-point penalty.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny.
I'd be very surprised if they ended up getting banned for that. It's
unprecedented. Teams get deducted points. Players don't get banned for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So. I mean, like,
could you really, like, what would happen if they say no? What?
They're not financiers, you know.
Yeah, it's like the club tells you to do something. It's just like, I'm sure there'd be like a kind of thief pro argument where it's like, look, the players are backed into a corner. You can't punish them for this.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. Just be targeting them for, you know, bloody Agnelli and what's the other pecker called?
Nedved.
He's one of them. who was the president?
Oh, yeah, it was Agnelli.
Maybe I'm thinking of something.
You think of the. Like the director of football or something?
Yeah, the big guy.
Marotta?
Was
he gone by then?
Marotta's who I was thinking.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Paratici himself?
He's a dodgy guy. I don't really know what distinctive characteristics there are there. To me, if you're part of a, you know, club that's been dot points, you're all a bit dodgy.
Yeah. Should do a little bit on the FA Cup.
The magic of the cup.
I'd say do a bit on like the Levy and Enix stuff, but I think we did it a little bit last week and nothing much has changed. Don't really have to do it again.
I don't really
care for it anyway.
No,
I'm not inclined one or the other. One of the things that is starting to annoy me is that, I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of the aggregators are trying to kind of push a deal for Milan Skriniar on the club, even though they haven't heard anything about the club wanting him.
The Spurs?
Since Mourinho left, like, I think he was like a Mourinho target.
Yeah.
And I get why we'd want him. I guess why we should be in for him. But so it sounds like he's going to PSG, but Inter want to sell this month. PSG don't want to buy this month. So they're saying that, like, the Italian papers are saying it opens the door for someone to swoop in, and people are kind of pushing it on Spurs to buy something and then getting angry when it doesn't happen. So you just, it's such a kind of the guy cycling, putting the twig in his wheel thing and then blaming someone else for it. It's just like, there's a lot of reasons to criticise him. I don't think making up Skriniar as a target and not getting him is one.
That's just the trappings of the internet and online stuff there, really. Yeah. It's just people winding themselves into states of fits and all that. I don't know. People just going crazy.
People love that shit.
They do love that shit, but it's not the real world. That's the problem.
Got to sort it out.
Yeah, got to sort it out.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so Preston.
Preston.
Middle of the road championship team. Yeah, I know. It's a proper weird time. I'm out on Saturday.
You're out on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm at a surprise party. And, well, I hope it's still a surprise. I'm assuming the person whose party is won't be listening to this podcast.
They don't talk to you about Owatonna.
Yeah, they don't care for it, so.
Fair enough.
yeah. Hopefully I haven't blown that. There's going to be a load of people now listening, like, it's a party for me?
It'd be funny if this came on during the party on the docks.
Yeah.
They're
one of like 20 teams involved in the playoff battle, aren't they?
Essentially, and that goes down to like 15th, 16th, which is a bit wild. But I think they were the team who had a really horrible run of like 1-0 defeats.
Yeah, it was like what's the goals against record now?
Goals against is 31 against.
In 31-28. That's quite. So that implies that they've conceded quite a lot since that start.
Yeah.
Because before it was something stupid. It was like 4 goals in 12 games or something.
It was outrageous.
It was unbelievably.
0-0. Then they won 4-1. Then they won 1-0. Then they drew 0-0 twice. Yeah, it was remarkable.
Since the handbrake's come off a little bit.
It looks a little bit. I don't know if they've had a manager change midway through or whatever's happened there, but we've had a few big defeats to some of the bigger teams up there.
Battle of the Leewards.
Norwich and Huddersfield, QPR.
Should do it.
I think they're one of the teams who signed a load of teams on. Signed a load of players on loan towards the end of the window.
Yes, they do have. I think.
Yeah, Liam Delap. They got Delap off City.
They got Fernandes off Man United.
Yeah,
I think. They have Parrott off us, but he can't play.
He can't play, no.
He doesn't sound like he's doing that well anyway. Not going well for Parrott or Scarlett, it sounds like.
No, I think Scarlett. I've got a few friends who are Portsmouth fans. I talk to them about him every now and again. And they just say he struggled a little bit with physicality recently. Hasn't really been fancied. But I think they played and won last night.
They did.
Yeah.
I don't think he scored, though.
Yeah, that's a shame. Still check anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing I heard from people who I know in and around the club.
Yeah, he's not really getting looking.
Nice start, but something's not quite there.
Yeah.
So that's annoying.
Annoying.
I think the thing you could look at is Kane wasn't amazing when he was getting loaned out as a teenager.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm asking a lot to compare him to the greatest goal scorer in the history of the club, but never know.
At such a young age as well. Still a wee teenager.
But anyway, 5-0 against Preston?
That'd be nice.
I think he'll go full strength.
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
There's only one game this week.
Good. Yeah, he's had a good little rest between the games now. So just get in and...
We have to win this cup. Yeah. We have to do everything to win this cup. I think he knows that. I think it's been told to him, like, you need to win it.
It must make sense.
So it's like, cool. I threw the League Cup. Let's go for the FA Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think we should crack on, because what's the point otherwise?
Kane scores 5 goals to break the record, obliterate to the record.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Make it so that no one can't ever catch it, not even Dane Scarlett.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it'll be a long time anyway if anyone ever does get it, but probably not in, I doubt in our lifetimes.
I think say we're living in the situation where he does stay for however many years. No one was going to catch that record.
No
one thought anyone was going to get Greaves' record. Greaves was here for like 10 years and he was had a record that was pretty much better than 1 and 2 for 9 of them, I think it was. So you can't imagine, like, we might have like another one club man again, we might have another really good striker, but to be here for that long and be so consistent with everything. It's the way that Kane's also kind of reinvented himself. He's not as injury prone anymore.
Yeah.
Touch wood, that doesn't change. I'm expecting he'll probably miss some time at some point in the season because he's just played so many games. But hopefully it's not like a major one like all of the last ones that he's had.
Yeah, nothing too season, you know, jeopardising.
Because then that would be probably curtains.
That would be curtains.
But I guess we get to see Richarlison as a nine. So, every cloud.
Every cloud.
Still thinking about the bad news.
Still thinking about
the bad news. All right.
I think that's pretty much it.
I think that's pretty much
it. To be honest, mate. I don't know what else there is to say.
My knee is quite sore, actually.
Your knee is quite sore.
It's really sore. We had to walk up 3 flights of stairs.
Yeah, it's tough.
Really steep stairs as well. It's not like they're not kind
they're
stairs.
Quite, yeah, quite aggressive. There's and steep,
no,
aren't they?
There's no lift in this office.
Sean's not happy.
I'm not happy. We'll start campaigning.
Yeah, makes sense.
New office coming soon though. Hopefully that'll have a lift.
Yeah.
Not banking on it.
I don't think so. I don't.
Yeah, I've got so anyway. I'm going to ask Ledley about it. That'll be my first question. So, Ledley, how do you live with this knee pain? It's killing me. I'm never going for a run again.
Do you put in lifts everywhere you go?
Did you ask for that big lift in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium? Is that you who asked for that?
You don't do the skywalk. You just get a lift all the way up.
See, Hensley did the skywalk before the derby.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was like, he was up on the roof.
I might have seen that during like the pre-match amble stuff, but. Yeah. was he announcing team news for
you? He's giving tactical analysis.
Yeah.
So from up here, Arsenal all over us.
They're getting Pat Jennings up there as well, just have a word.
Yeah. Get off the dang roof. Yes, that's kind of fun. Don't think I'd ever do that.
No.
Not for me, Clive. Alright, enough waffle. Okay, thank you for listening, everyone. Please like and leave a rating if you can. It really helps us out a lot. We will be back next week to discuss how we're going to beat Man City at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this time. You play Thursday 'cause you're... What a feeling, what a night. Oh, what a night. Watching Tottenham on a Tuesday.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.